I have been at this consistently probably for, at least in the local church, creative arts and worship. In the local church, I've been at it for about, I guess, 2 years now, consistently. But I've been doing creative arts and worship as a ministry for 14, almost 15 years now, which every time I say that, I feel old, but I'm not. I keep getting younger, believe it or not, y'all. But I really want to talk about my journey, talk a little bit about my journey, and then I want to point out a few key things that I think were and are fundamental and basic to developing a strong creative arts and worship ministry in the local church, and then I want to open up the floor for questions. The thing I'm most anticipating is opening up the floor for questions, just so I can, because there are a lot of questions, especially when it comes to the arts, because the arts are very, is multi-layered. The arts are multi-layered. It's not as black and white as everything else. You know what I mean? So there are a lot of questions to be asked, a lot of questions that I'm still asking, that I'm still working through myself, even as I talk to others. So I want to open up the floor eventually for questions and answers. But before that, I'm going to talk a little bit about my journey, talk about a few things that I think are basic to developing a strong, healthy creative arts and worship ministry, Q&A, and then y'all can go eat some more Chick-fil-A or whatever, pizza, whatever we're doing. Let's pray real quick and let's dive into it. Father God, we thank you for your mercy, if it were not for your mercy, we'd be consumed. Thank you, Lord God, for your grace, for extending to us that which we don't deserve. We thank you, Lord God, for the grace to, Lord, the grace to live in accordance with the scriptures, the grace to obey. Thank you, Lord God, for the grace for salvation. Thank you for the grace to resist sin. Thank you for the grace to lead, because we recognize that our sufficiency doesn't come from ourselves, for we are weak and frail, handicapped and broken, and in desperate need of you and your grace. So we thank you for it, and pray that you would apportion to me, or help me to appropriate the grace that has been apportioned to me, as I seek to talk with your people, Lord, just about things concerning you, which we understand that the local church means a lot to you. It's your divine institution. It's your brilliant idea. And it starts with you and is sustained by you and it ends with you. And we are the vessels through which you are accomplishing your work in and through it. So we thank you. I pray be with us all during this time. In Jesus' name, we love you dearly. Amen. You mad at me because I'm not in the mic? What? What? Earpiece? I can do it? Amen. Let the church say amen. Let the church say. 1, 2. All right, maybe we rejoiced too early. We didn't rejoice prematurely, did we? There we go. Cool. So here we go. My journey. Oh, let me turn this off. Sorry, y'all, for the delay. Give me 2 seconds so we can flow. 1, 2. One. Is it cool? Yeah. One, two. Straight now. Straight now. Straight now. Straight now. One, two. Is that right? One, two. It's good. Up some more. Oh, this right here. I got it backwards. Right there? Close to my mouth. 1, 2, you straight? Dad, that's like in my eye. Is that cool? That's good enough. All right. Here we go. Just turn me down. It's a small room. You can turn it down. Hey, there we go. My journey. Prior to coming to Epiphany, and when I say coming to Epiphany, I don't mean this building. When I started with Epiphany from the beginning, I was part of the whole core team development thingy. Prior to even becoming a part of the core team, which even when I was a part of the core team, I was part of the core team physically, but I wasn't part of the core team in my heart. Prior to that time, I had not been a part of a local church for 10 years. One of the first things that I think is important for me to address is that the artists in your church will need special attention, okay? Because the reason that I wasn't, they will need special attention and they will need to be schooled on the importance of being anchored in a local church, okay? That's already a challenge in general, just helping people to understand the importance of being anchored in a local church. Already a challenge, especially where everything is so splintered, everybody's hyper-individualistic, everybody's, you know, doing their own church at home on Sunday morning, communion all by themselves in front of the television, watching the Word Network. Everybody's got their own idea and their own concept of what church is today based on our culture, based on personal bents, the whole thing. So that's already a challenge, getting people to understand the importance of being a part of a local church. However, as it pertains to artists, it's even more critical that you take the necessary time to help them to understand the importance of two things: A, being a part of a local church plant, and B, being active or making a contribution within the local church context. I'm gonna tell you my journey, and I'm intimately acquainted with what it means to really not feel like I needed to do so. When I was younger, 16 years old, 14 years old is when I started really walking with the Lord. Got saved at 5. Started walking with the Lord at 14 years old. 16 years old, got involved in ministry. Started traveling all over the place. Not all over the place, Philly. Back then, when I was 16, all over the place was Philly, Jersey, Delaware. And then when you like started going to D.C. and what, like you, that was big time back then. But I was traveling, you know, on weekends, you know, 3 shows a weekend. I had a group back then called the Salvation Army. You couldn't tell me nothing. I was smelling myself a little bit. You know, the people liked us. We were young. We were the, you know, back then Salvation Army was like the newer cross movement, like back then, like 14 years ago. So we were coming on the scene. People were loving us, bringing us out to their churches or whatever. We were loving what we were doing on Christian rap, you know, teaching young kids. Baby, can you come out to my church? The phone was ringing off the hook. We were gaining more popularity, the whole thing. So I'm 16 years old. All of this stuff is happening to me. At the same time, you know, I'm at my church at the time. And I won't give the name of the church, but Sharon Baptist, that's fine. I was at that church at the time. And so not only were we gaining popularity like out there in the world, but like we were gaining popularity within the church. So we became like the it crowd in the church. So, you know, naturally, unfortunately, we didn't have the kind of leaders that necessarily were looking for emerging, solid, healthy Christian leaders. They were looking for popular, you know, who are the popular emerging leaders? And that's pretty much what I was a part of, the popular crowd. So they, you know, I got elevated to, you know, vice president of the youth ministry and all this stuff. So everything's popping. Everything's popping. Doing ministry in the church. I'm doing ministry abroad. I'm a big deal abroad. I'm a big deal in the church. Everything's wonderful. After a while, I had become, because of the church that I was in, I started going to Bible college, first of all. And when I started going to Bible college, going back to church was harder because, or back together with the saints. If I say going back to church, I do understand the difference. I do understand the terminology that used to be used. But for the sake of argument, I'm just going to say going to church. Is that okay? Can we do that for today? All right, cool. So going back to, is that cool? Because I didn't get a unanimous amen. All right, cool. All right. So, but going back to church was difficult because I'm getting all this brand new information from school. Professors are killing it. I'm being introduced to all the ologies. And I'm going back to church, and I'm like, I'm bored now. I'm starting to get bored going back to church. Okay. So that just means I'm growing. So that's not necessarily a bad thing. So I was pretty much growing out of where I was. Okay. So when I was 19 years old, I pretty much walked away from the church or whatever. But I walked away from it not to backslide. I walked away from it like I'm too smart for it, which was pride. From that point up until about 2.5 years ago, when I got here to Epiphany, I literally did not have a church home. I had no local church. What was I doing all that time in those 10 years? Well, A, I was being a musician, because I'm a musician as well. So I was playing drums at a church. I was traveling all over the place, pretty much. And that was my life. And when I got to church, I got to church. And when I didn't get to church, I didn't get to church. Now, granted, at this time, I'm going to Bible college. I'm sitting in the nature and purpose of the local church class doing papers on the importance of being in the local church. But when I got to church, I got to church. If I didn't, I didn't. Now, basically what happened was during that time, during those 10 years, God had actually given me grace to function that way. Like, he had given me grace and all of that. The 10 years I wasn't plugged into anything, but I wasn't out of fellowship. I just wasn't plugged in to a local church. And then the other challenge was I couldn't really find a solid local church. But then the one you found was 12,000 members, so you could slip in and out as you please. There wasn't a sense of, as you talked about, organic or organized community. So basically, there's this grace on my life all these years. So I remember sitting in my apartment. An ambassador came. Y'all not bored yet, are y'all? I'm going somewhere, I promise y'all. Was that a unanimous I'm not bored? Is that like three people like, no, I'm not bored yet? So I remember clearly, biggest ambassador comes to my apartment years ago, sat down with me and just ran me through the scriptures and began to talk about this church plant and started. The 3 years before he actually planted, he began to talk to me about the church plant and was basically saying, are you going to be on board? And my response to him was no. I was like, nah, I'm good. Like, I'm traveling. I just got married. Like, me, my wife and I are living well. We're walking with the Lord. We got fellowship. Boom, 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 boom. Why do I need the local church when I already, this is going to be the key. I need y'all to watch this. When I already have all the components that you would find in the local church. You keep telling me I need to be in the local church for this, 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 and this. You keep telling me to be in the local church because I need community. I got that. You keep telling me I need to be in a local church because I need discipleship. I got that. You keep telling me I need to be in a local church so I can do ministry. I got that. You keep telling me that. So all the reasons for which you were telling me to be in the local church were not I didn't need any of what you were telling me because all that was already available to me. I was already making disciples and being discipled. I was already in community. I was already doing ministry. All these things were already being done in my life. What do I need the local church for? Why do I need to commit and plug in to a church plant on top of that? Why can't I just go, sit, soak, be taught every now and then when I'm in town and then leave out and go back to a world of Christianity, not a place where Christianity is happening? This is the mind of the artist. The mind of the artist is we got all of that already. We already doing ministry. Why do you need me to come to your church and do it? The mind of the artist is I got a host of Christian friends all over the world. I got friends, Christian friends in Ohio that I'm talking to on a regular basis, Christian friends in Alaska. I got Christian friends overseas. I got Christian friends. They pour into me. I pour into them. Why do I need to come to your church to do community when I got it all over the world? This is the mind of the artist.
This is why the artist needs special attention. They need time for you to help them to understand the importance of being a part of the local church and then contributing. And I'm going to tell you why I'm making a distinction between those two. Because I had to transition from the phase of just, I had to get my heart to just be a part of, just to come, to sit, let alone do work. So I remember Ambassador sitting down with me, and he began to go through the scriptures with me, asked me, you know, to be a part of this church plant. That was 3 years prior to, and I remember sitting and saying to him, no. No thanks, I'm good. Because I felt like I had everything he was offering me from the scriptures right at my disposal without having to make a commitment to any local church context. And then on top of that, the grace given to me in the 10 years where I wasn't committed to any local church was so great. Why in the world, if it's not broke, then why fix it? So what I was reminded of in all of that is the story of Israel. Well, not the story of Israel. Just Israel being exiled and sent into Babylon. When they were sent into Babylon, one of the things that's interesting is the Bible says, first of all, this is slavery. This is bondage that they're in. Y'all know that, right? This was, God said, I had enough. 70 years on lockdown. Watch this, though. Stay with me. 70 years on lockdown. But what God did was God still gave them so much of a measure of grace, even in bondage, that by the time it was time for them to go, they were like, why do we need to leave here? We got houses, businesses, families. Why do we need to leave here? Especially when you're calling us to go away from a place, because Babylon is rich, it's America. Why are you going to call me from America to the ruins of the temple? What, you going to call me to build from scratch? But I'm good here. But the thing was, as much as that was bondage and they knew it was bondage, the measure of grace given to them made them park. That's where I was. Grace had been given to me and it made me park. But it was given to me basically in a place where that wasn't God's ideal. God's ideal was, I want you to go back and rebuild the temple. God's ideal was a centralized location, not you spread abroad. God's ideal was for me to be plugged into a local church, but God had given me grace to be spread abroad. And that grace was misinterpreted on my part. You can misinterpret God's grace. So I came to the realization that you could find me in Haggai. I kept saying what Israel was saying, what the Jews were saying. I was in the book where the Bible says the prophet went to him and said, wait a minute. I hear you saying in your heart, it's not time yet. That was me. The artist was like, why do I need to do that? It's not time for me to do that yet. I'll settle down later. That's what it represented to me. A marriage. I'll settle down in a local church sometime later on. And eventually God began to brew on my heart and say, that's you. The whispers of your heart are saying it's not time yet. And the prophet said, how long will you say it's not time yet? That was step one. That's what at least got me here. God saying, how long will you say it's not time yet? Please understand, your artists are thinking just like me. The artists that will be in your church are thinking just like me. And today, everybody's an artist. Everybody want to rap. Everybody want to juggle. Somebody's doing something artistic. You will need to give special attention to, that's not playing favorites. That's not favoritism. That's sensitivity. So my first step, my journey was getting to the place where I recognized just because God had given me grace for the 10 years that I was outside of the local church did not mean that his ideal wasn't for me to be in the local church. Y'all getting this? All right, first thing. Then the second thing. So once I came, I was like, I just want to come sit and soak. I'm just going to come. Because, man, I'm out there on the road. Like, I'm traveling. Like, I'm out there giving out so much. Like, when I come here, I just want to, like, sit and take it all in. So step two for me was God began to deal with my heart and helping me to understand the degree to which I was, like, the degree to which doing what I did out in the world was not an option for me to do in the church. That's the second thing you're going to have to help your artists understand. What you're doing in your those coffee houses, what you're doing in those other churches, what you're doing here, what you're doing there, what you're doing there, it's not an option for you to not do it here. Because every time you look in the Bible, anytime we're talking about gifts that are given to the body, it's within the context of a local church, not abroad. Not that it can't be used abroad, but we know that it cannot not be used, I know, double negative, in the local church. Y'all follow that? So, first part of my journey. It's getting plugged in. I remember sitting down in this building when we first got here, and the whole time, where's Pastor E? Pastor, he's not here. Oh, here he is. The whole time, Pastor E was nudging me, too. I remember the first time we sat down, you gave me that whole thing. And I think you said, I was like, I don't know about that, right? You talking to me about the local church, I mean, like plugging in. And I think I told Pastor E, nah, I don't know about all of that. You know, the whole spiel, I'm traveling, that whole thing. And I remember, though, God dealing with me and saying something, basically impressing on me something that I heard a teacher say many years ago, and that is, your greatest frustration is the thing that you were designed to fix. It says your greatest frustration is a problem that you are here to solve. And I remember sitting in here, because we're a church plant, so everything's bare bones. Everything. We doing music to tracks that were challenged a little bit. Praise God for JR. They were a little challenged. Praise God, despise not small beginnings. But I remember sitting in my seat. Now you figure, I'm out there in the world doing like, and this is not to boast or anything, but just like being a part of a world where it's nothing but stellar music going on, arts, creative arts, like everybody's killing it out there in the industry. And like, and so and then I'm coming here and I'm like, I remember this one Sunday, I was sitting through praise and worship and I was like this, you know, based on the content, and then one eye open. And then the other eye open, and then all I remember is sitting down and just sort of like putting my head down. And I remember Deuce looking back at me and laughing. And then afterwards, I went to Pastor Deuce, and I said, whatever y'all need me to do, I'm there. Well, what happened in that moment where I fell down and sulked in my seat? What happened was it was very difficult for me to work through the praise and worship at that time. It was hard for me to worship because of how, from my vantage point, much more, how much more it could be improved. So it was difficult for me to work through what, from my vantage point at the time, was a substandard, basically, compared to what it could be. It's one thing if something's substandard, and that's all it can ever be. And you're talking about a capacity issue. But when you know, but this could be ridiculous if we just did this, this, and you know, in my mind, I'm like, all these things or how we can improve everything. And so I'm sitting there, and it's very difficult for me to worship. I can't even worship God because of what I know this could be. And that very day, I said to Pastor Mace, what is it that you need me to do? I'm on board. Because I realized that my greatest frustration was the problem that I was here to solve. So, understand that your artists are a very unique bunch. The artists in your church are a very unique bunch. And you're going to have to give special attention to them to help them first to understand the purpose for plugging into a local church and not just being a maverick and not just being loose cannons all over the place. And then, secondly, the purpose for making a contribution to the local church. Y'all with me? Y'all still with me? Cool. Make sense? Yeah? Good stuff, right? So that's A. That's A. That's my story. That's done. I'm done with that. All right? Now I just want to look at a couple things that I think are basic to developing creative arts and worship ministry. But the reason I went through all of that is because I want you to know what you're dealing with when you're dealing with, I want you to know what kind of people you're dealing with. You understand what I'm saying? You're dealing with people that are very free, very free-minded. And a lot of times the free-mindedness makes us mavericky, makes us loose and makes us unstable. You know what I'm saying? Keeps us from being anchors, as Pastor E was talking about, the difference between the organic and the organized people. You know, the administrator doesn't think like us, so the administrator will plug in immediately, trying to figure out what to do, how to establish infrastructure and all of that. Where the artist is like flying by the seat of your pants. As soon as I get a phone call, I don't care what the pastor asked me to do that day. If you asked me to come in and do prayer that day, now I got a call from a church. They want me to do this. They want to do two selections. I think I'm going to go ahead and do that. So there's no sense of commitment. There's no sense of, because artists are very fly by the seat of your pants, free-minded, open-minded individuals. That's what you're dealing with. You're not dealing with the organized person. So the reason I even told you my journey is so that you understand you're dealing with a different breed. And so you have to deal with them accordingly. Okay? Y'all cool with that? Cool? All right. Couple things that I think are important. I won't give you everything here. It would be too long. Couple things I think are basic to establishing a healthy, solid and healthy creative arts and worship ministry. Understanding that arts come from God. So I just want to take a second to build a case, a quick case, not one of my usual cases. A quick case for the arts in the church, for the church more specifically, because there's a difference between the arts for the church and the arts from the church, whereas the arts from the church would be more missional. The arts for the church, obviously, are just more ecclesiological. Okay. I don't think we can get into all of that today, but we could talk about it in the Q&A maybe. So I just want to say, just want to build a quick case for the arts in the church, for the church, not from the church, okay? Obviously, we understand God is beautiful. Worship him in the beauty of his holiness. And another word for the word beauty is the word ornamentation. Worship God in the ornamentation of his holiness. And the idea is in the same way that, I mean, when you think about the sky at night is black. The stars are the ornamentation in the sky. In other words, it beautifies the sky in the same way that you put ornaments on your tree. It beautifies the tree by itself, it's bare. The tree is beautified by balls and whatever you put on it, lights and whatever else. So the Bible says, worship God in the ornamentation or the beauty of his holiness. We understand God to be beautiful. Okay. We understand that art comes from God. All things that are beautiful do come from God. except Satan as an angel of light, because he's beautiful when he comes too. But all things that are beautiful and consistent with his character, inherently consistent with his character, come directly from him. All right, y'all with me? I need an amen some in here. What a saint said, amen. All right, here we go. So, quick case. God is beautiful. All art that is consistent inherently with the character of God comes directly from God. Okay? We see that evidenced in creation, first of all. Creation is God's first work of art. His first masterpiece. He makes it, he designs it, he handcrafts it, and then he steps away from it and says, I just killed it. He said, it is good. You know, you see ball players from the half court, they leave it up. They leave that up to say, I killed it. Like, that's what that is. Then they'll make some sort of gesture afterwards to let you know that was a good thing I just did. And that's not wrong. You're like, oh, he's full of pride. No, you don't feel like that. You feel like you agree with him. Well, the Bible says that when God made everything, the Bible says that he said, this is good. That's banging, ain't it? Isn't that beautiful? That's as good as it could get. So God's first work of art is creation. Unfortunately, now we understand God just didn't want to stop with the rural world. In other words, what I mean is grass and trees and fruit. God's intention from the beginning was to establish an entire world full of metropolitan areas. Everything we see now was always intended to be. It's not like if sin wouldn't came into the world, neither would buildings. Buildings would have come into the world as well. The beauty of architecture, the beauty of web design would still be here if sin had not come into the world. These are not products of sin. Y'all follow me on this? All that is now was always intended to be. The challenge that we have, not all, but you understand in context what I mean. The challenge that we have is that many of the things, once the corrupt heart gets a hold of them, have been corrupted. The reason we know that all that is was always intended to be is because, and keep that in context, is because God, in the beginning, prior to the fall, commanded Adam to basically do stuff in the world. That's what the Bible teaches us. The Bible teaches us that God tells Adam, I want you to subdue the earth. The word for subdue holds the idea of one who harnesses all of the earth's raw material and natural resources and just does stuff with it. I take all that is at my disposal and I do stuff. I build stuff. I make stuff. I build bridges. I build websites. You name it. I make paper. Like, paper was always supposed to be here from trees. God's intention from the beginning was not just that so that the world would be beautiful. I'm saying this to say that so the only thing from God's vantage point that's beautiful is not nature. It's all of it. It's all the stuff that man has done with his hands. It's music videos. Now the content of the music video is foul, so it doesn't glorify God, but the music video itself is beautiful. God would say the music video, what was put into the video, aside from the content, is good. Because God was creative from the beginning, and then God said, now I'm going to infuse you with a bunch of creativity and then charge you with all the natural resources in the world to be as creative as possible, but for my glory. For my glory. So the first work of art for God is creation. And then God tells man, do a bunch of stuff with all the stuff that I've given you. And it's going to be good, just as good as everything else. The problem was sin came into the world and death followed it. And so the stuff that God intended for to be for his glory ends up detracting from it. Creation. Second thing that we see in scripture in building a case for the arts, for the church, is we see the arts all throughout the Old Testament as God is establishing a temple. We see that all throughout the Old Testament, right? God makes a temple. Now, God, why didn't he just throw something together? When you read Exodus, just write it down for now. When you read Exodus chapters 25 through chapter 36, why is God so detailed? Now, granted, we understand all the theological implications as well. The reasons why God was so detailed. But aside from the theological implications, why didn't God just throw something together? He could have just done any old thing to make his point. But when you look all throughout the Old Testament in the temple and other places, you find what we call representational art. Y'all ain't ready. Here we go. Representational art is seen all throughout the Old Testament. When you look at the temple, God would appoint overseers to be artistic. Literally, this is the word the Bible would use. To be artistic. And representational art is he would command somebody to go in and not just any old Joe, which we'll get into in a second, but he would command somebody who was skilled in the area of art to go in and engrave on the walls images of whatever from, let's just say, nature. So he would say, now go into the temple and inscribe on the wall pomegranates. Now that's fruit. That's representational art in the temple. He'd say, go into the temple and inscribe on the wall an angel. That's representational art. We see Jesus make a reference to representational art when he says, in the same way that the bronze serpent. Now, you think that the bronze serpent was not art? What is the bronze serpent, if not art? It's a sculpture. God used people to sculpt things to make theological points, but he used stuff that was artistic. Isn't that crazy? So Jesus says, in the same way that the bronze serpent was lifted, so the Son of Man will be lifted. He says, and when I am lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. But in order to communicate something about his drawing power, he points to something artistic. Y'all tired, I feel it. Y'all ain't ready. He points to something artistic. A bronze serpent. A sculpture. Now later we find that that same sculpture is destroyed. See? God didn't like that from the beginning. But the Bible says that, and it says that God was pleased with the destruction of the sculpture. Okay, but now we know, that was still in the Old Testament, now we know, but if Jesus cites it, that there was something to it. Because remember, the whole point was to point to the cross from the beginning. But the reason why God was pleased with the destruction of the serpent was not because there was something inherently wrong with the work of art itself. The reason why God was pleased with the destruction of the sculpture is because the Bible says that they burned incense to it. So the art became God. See, God only has a problem with art in the church when it replaces him. Y'all ain't ready. That's the only time that God has a problem with art in the church, when it replaces him. And this is what we find in many of our churches. This is what we find in the gospel music industry. This is what we find in Christian contemporary music. This is what we find all over the place in Christianity. A lot of times, art replaces God. That's when he has a problem with it. But the art itself is from God. And the intention is to communicate something about himself. Oh, I wish I had an amen crowd. Y'all ain't there though. That's okay. I love y'all. Y'all understand my point. A case for the art. We see arts in the we see art in the heavens. I can build the case all day. I told y'all to keep it short. A, case for art in the church. Don't compartmentalize. Understand that when we talk about lordship, Jesus is Lord of my life. Jesus Christ is Lord. I submitted to the lordship of Christ. And a lot of times we relegate that to the realm of spirituality. We relegate that to the realm of theology. We relegate the lordship of Christ to the realm of spiritual things. Church, worship, Christian living, all things Christian. Oftentimes, what we're not thinking about is Christ as Lord over all. We compartmentalize. Lordship is Christ as Lord over this slither. Not Christ as Lord over my fun, Lord over my, you name it, and then over the arts. So the key for you, especially leaders, pastors, is to not compartmentalize and relegate the lordship of Christ to everything, to all things spiritual, and then sort of feel funny about areas of life that are more secular. You understand what I'm saying? there are things that we think this is secular. Like Jesus can't be Lord at least but so much over this. I know he's Lord over my devotion. I know he's Lord over, and that's an old term that's used. I know he's Lord over my prayer life. I know he's Lord over community. I know he's Lord over communion. I know he's Lord over preaching. I know he's Lord over, but we relegate it to all things spiritual, which narrows the scope of lordship. So one of the things that's important is that we understand that that lordship is broad, and it includes this thing called the arts. And these things are to be used for the sake of the building of the body. Okay, let me move on. So we got the case for the arts. Let's talk real quick about the core of the arts. Pastor E talked about it earlier, so I don't need to talk about it much. Basically, the core of the arts. What should your creative arts and worship, what should be the culture of your creative arts and worship ministry? What should be the DNA, the fabric of your creative arts and worship ministry? Well, here at Epiphany, we have the beautiful thing about vision and having it structured. Praise God for Pastor E. He's more organized than I am. But having a structure is that you can always fall back on it if you feel like you're losing sight along the way. Like if you feel like you're looking at a creative arts and worship ministry that you feel like, man, for some reason I didn't like that song that they sung, but I can't quite put my finger on why. Well, if you go back to what we do, which we do, and that is back to our core values, and we've listened to the song in light of our core values, then that helps us to make a decision and determine to what degree that song was consistent with the direction we're going as a ministry or not. Y'all following that? Okay. So the core of the arts for us is grounded in our core values. The foundation of the creative arts and worship ministry here is grounded in our core values. Christocentrism. Stuff is, not every song has to be about Jesus per se. Not like we can't talk general revelation and be okay. And guess what, y'all? In all honesty, these are discussions that we have amongst each other. Like Shaolin and I will sit and go back and forth, which is fine. I love him. We go back and forth about if a song is only general revelation, he may be upset about that. So he and I have to talk through okay, in light of our core value of Christocentrism, is that inherently wrong, or is it problematic? Not inherently wrong, obviously. Is it problematic in light of our core values to have a song that solely points to God's creation, indescribable? Indescribable. It just talks about God's character, God's nature, talks about God's creation, but it does not point to redemption. Is there anything problematic? Is it problematic for us to have a song that doesn't have any redemptive quality in light of our core values? The point is that I'm not saying that we got this perfect. My point is that the thing that these core values help us to do is keep things calibrated. Y'all follow me? We talk community. Now, we want all these core values to be communicated from the top of the service to the end, from praise and worship to communion. If we want all of these core values to be communicated from top to bottom, we're talking community within, in our songs. Okay, so now if we're talking community in our songs, is it okay for us to sing the songs that say I? Or do we need to replace I with we? Jesus, okay, so pray this way. Our Father. Okay, I'm not saying we do this. What I'm saying that this is what, somebody like, that's too deep. But this is what helps us, the core values help us to stay focused, to stay on track. It keeps us calibrated. It keeps us talking through some of the core issues. In light of what the church needs, do we need to change the language from I to we? Because so maybe it's a problem for it to be I. Obviously, that's not a problem for it to be I. We see that all throughout the Psalms. However, if we're trying to cultivate a culture of community, do we need to, for the sake of what the congregation needs, to change some of our language? Even within worship songs. Y'all follow me? So the core of the arts here at Epiphany, the foundation of the arts here is grounded in the core values. Okay? So whatever your core values are, that's a way. In other words, don't let your arts ministry have its own little identity and world and its own way of, please don't do that with the arts. Because only God knows how far we'll go. We got to be grounded in something. You got that? So don't just let them go because they're the arts ministry. And you got the choir up there singing whatever, all kinds of stuff that you don't believe. You don't believe that. Like the song they sang, you don't believe that. You don't know how many. Listen, y'all, please, y'all got to know. I got a little bit of experience in this. I got a lot of experience in this. But just being in the ministry, I've seen so many of my own friends have a group, and the members of the group will get up on the same stage as they're on and singing something completely contrary to everything that they stand for. Now, I've seen that in the church as well. I know the pastor don't believe that. But the choir just singing, the pastor goes, amen, bless God for the choir. Said, why is it that we just let the arts go? Runaway trains in our churches. They too have to be grounded in the core values. Because they too are communicators and representations of whatever God is after, whatever God is after within your local context. It's not like you and them. There should be cohesiveness from beginning to end. It's one of the things we try to do here is, what is Pastor E preaching on this week? We're trying to find songs. We're trying to think about what dance. What song the dance ministry can do? What song the drama? Whatever the monologue or whatever the drama team, what they can do to be consistent with what's being communicated? Because the one thing about the arts is that the arts does something uniquely different that even teaching does sometimes. The arts has the ability sometimes to touch the soul in a way that nothing else can. Even if the teaching got your mind, the arts will enrapture your soul so that the mind and the soul become integrated in the same truth. So it can't be what you believe and then what they sing, or what you believe and the song the dance ministry just did that was unchecked. Nobody checked the song before they did it. And so now you in the front row cringing and feeling obligated to now get up behind them and tell the saints to platform. But you know you didn't agree with that. So we also try to take precautionary measures. What song are we doing this week? Oh, gosh. Feel it. Core of the arts. Foundation of the arts. Craft. The importance of excellence in your craft in the arts. Now, I'm almost done. How much time I got? How much more time? Who's the time person? Gotcha. But that's not long. That's not how long I'm going to take. I'm going to take 10 minutes and then I'm going to open it up. Was that your cue for me? Mm-hmm. All right. Excellence in your craft. Excellence in your craft. Please, saints, beloved leaders, beloved pastors. Please do not allow for substandard skill in the church. Okay. We do that, first of all, because it's really bad theology to allow for substandard skill. Like, that has to be fueled by bad theology. That's what I'm saying. Again, compartmentalizing. There we go. I know how much God cares about the preaching, so that's got to be excellent. I know how much God cares about the prayer, so that's got to be excellent. I know how much God cares about, and you just run your list of, to you, what's most important, what you think God is most concerned about. But the arts, and it's not like you think God is not that concerned about it, like maybe intentionally, but somewhere in your mind, you got to be thinking that's less of a concern. The excellence of a person's craft is less of a concern to God than preaching is. That's what I'm saying. This is the danger of compartmentalizing, because it's Lord over this, 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 and this, but God is a little less concerned with this. So we'll let anything happen with this. So we got mind ministries happening on Sunday morning. Some of us in the audience snickering because we know how bad it is. It's just not like there's a category for this is not good. Like there's a such thing as Christians who don't do things well. That's not good. There's a category for she doesn't sound good. There's a category for that. In the same way that there's some who can't preach, who can't teach. There's also she can't sing. And we won't let him teach, but we will let her sing. And we do it out of pity a lot of times. But wait, everywhere we look in the Bible, anytime something artistic is going on, the Bible will make sure that it says, and he was skillful. All throughout 1 Chronicles 4. And that's about warriors. But the point is that it says that they were skillful. Exodus 36, Exodus 31, Exodus 35, 2 Chronicles. Everywhere you look. And the Bible is talking about the artisans, or the Bible is talking about any kind of art artists in the scripture, the Bible says, and they were filled with the Spirit and they were skillful. They were filled with the Spirit and they were skillful. God does not take pleasure in unskillfulness. Please understand. It's not just making a joy. But child, she's just making a joyful noise. No. Keep that in concert with, and it was skillful. Don't isolate that. See, all of a sudden, now we feel okay with eisegesis. We hate it everywhere else. Don't isolate the text when we talk about Christocentrism. Don't isolate the text when we're talking about the Trinity. Don't isolate. But when it comes to this, boy, she sure did make a joyful noise today, didn't she? Can we keep that in concert with all the passages about, and they were skillful? That makes sense? It's got to be done skillfully. And if you have a church that's small and they're not skilled, don't have anything. Because you don't want to just have a situation where you allow people to do stuff because they desire it. And you want to keep them there. You understand that? Skill is very important. Character. Character in the arts. Character is very important. One of the things that Pastor E stresses here is growing wide and going deep. Okay? Growing wide. But before you grow wide, you must grow deep. Okay? Character in the arts is very important. One of the things that my father used to say to me when I was younger was, never let your talent take you where character can't keep you. So, real quick, you have to be careful to not elevate people too soon. Because the moment you give somebody that microphone, or you give them the stage, you let them do poetry, or you let them do dance, or you let them do drama, or you let them on the praise and worship team, without knowing where they are character-wise, you basically are really setting yourself up to have a cancer in your church. And in leadership. Because believe it or not, the moment that person stands up there to do drama, anybody who stands up front, they automatically become leaders. Even if it's just for a small contingent of people. So I would urge you to embrace this principle in light of this point. Do not lay hands quickly. The Bible says, lest they become puffed up in the same way that Satan did. You see that? That's the idea. The idea is you elevate them too quickly and they become arrogant. Give them a platform too quickly and they become arrogant. And then lastly, commitment, which is part of character. You want people a part of the arts ministry that are committed. Like I said, it took me a long time to get to the place where I was actually committed. 10 years and I'm still in the process. A lot farther along than I was. Still in the process of acclimating to commitment. As the leader of the Creative Arts and Worship Ministry here at Epiphany Fellowship. And I'd like to leave you with this, and I'm going to open the floor for 10 minutes, and then we can go. I'd like to leave you with this. One point that I left out, that which is very, very important, that I touched on, but very, very important. When I talked about the core of the arts, one thing that the arts must be is the artist must be Holy Spirit filled. That's, you always see skillful and Holy Spirit filled in the same context whenever the Bible talks about the artist in the scriptures. Now you see it everywhere else too. You see it in Acts, you know, the men filled with the Spirit, things of that nature. But anytime the Bible is talking about people who are in the arts, the two things that they must be is skillful and Holy Spirit filled. Which also goes along with character. So what you're looking for as leaders, don't leave it to itself to be a runaway train. Please monitor it. It's a baby like everything else. monitor it. And what you're looking for, or you know, delegate people to monitor it. And what you're looking for is people that are filled with the Holy Spirit, not just for the task, but filled with the Holy Spirit just as Christians. Because the one thing the artist struggles with is putting their craft before their Christianity. And you want to make sure that their Christianity is premier and their craft is submitted to their Christianity as their Christianity is submitted to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. So, my journey, please, your artists are flighty. Understand it. And so give special attention to them and help them to understand the importance of being a part of and then making contribution to your local church. Helping them to understand that what they do out there is not an option. What they do out there is actually the option. What they do in here, the local church context, is mandatory. And then my five points is a case for the arts. God is beautiful. God is from God that the arts come, and that the arts are used for the glory of God. The foundation of the arts should be the core values, which were listed earlier and briefly here. The craft and the arts, which is ought to do whatever you do skillfully as unto the Lord. The character of the artist, which is see to it that they're not just growing wide, but they're going deep. And then the commitment level of the artist, which comes from out of their character. Any questions? Very good question. Excellent. Yeah. I think that it's very important to not pay up front, because the one thing that you want to do, I forget who it is, Moody or Spurgeon. I think it's Moody. Maybe Spurgeon, whoever it was. One of them would basically, the way that they would determine whether or not somebody was fit for the ministry or really was serious about the ministry is that they would push them away from the ministry. In other words, I had a friend that just went up to Master's Seminary, and he's going for the pastorate. And when he went, he sat down, and the guy in front of, I guess, the mission counselor or whatever, and the missions counselor said, I'm going to sit with you for the next hour. I'm going to spend the next hour trying to talk you out of this. And if by the end of it, you're on the fence about it, trying to figure out what you should do, you probably want to reconsider. What am I saying that to say? I'm saying that to say that when musicians, especially musicians, artists, all of us, when we come in, in order for you to see how serious we are, you really need to do something that will test us. You follow me? If you got committed, you can gauge the commitment of a musician or commitment of an artist based on commitment to the agenda of God. You can gauge their commitment to the agenda of God in the local church context based on how much they give themselves to something that they're getting nothing from. See, the one thing that was good for me was the thing I had to realize is that my response, and I still struggle with this, but God has given me grace as I work through it. And that is, how can I give to something outside of myself in the same way that I've only given to myself for so many years? See, I got my own thing going. So it's been about truth for all 14, 15 years. Now I'm about to plug into something that's not about me. And now give myself to it in the same way that I would give to my own thing. And so the thing about artists is that the way you gauge their commitment to this thing, this is bigger than us. I don't want money from this. This is something so much bigger than me. The way you can gauge their commitment to this thing, this entity, this divine institution, is by at least, I would say, for the first year, withholding from them financially. withholding from them financially. That way you can test and see if their commitment to it is real.
How do you find you're growing as a believer, as a Christ follower, being an artist, you know, after being in ministry and putting out for so long, what's challenging you spiritually?
Yeah.
Serving in the church.
Serving in the church. That is exactly what's challenging. No, I promise you, that is exactly what stretched me. Prior to coming here, it was all the outside stuff, which when I talk about the outside stuff, I felt like I was outsourcing. Like I was, you know, getting from, you know, if I wanted toothpaste, I'd go to Walgreens. If I wanted drawers, I'd go to the Gap. If I wanted whatever, I'd go somewhere else. As opposed to, you know, when you think about like Super Walmart, that's about my drawers. But if you go to Super Walmart, everything is in one centralized location, which I think is like the local church, as opposed to just going everywhere else in the world. So I think coming to one centralized location is the thing that like, oh, like real community, like in close proximity, and like, oh, real having to humble myself in close proximity. I think it's the proximity that changed everything for me, because I had all the stuff, but the proximity changes the landscape. I think it challenges you in a different way. And sitting under teacher teaching on a regular basis, and having to be committed, and having to show up on Sunday, and having to, as opposed to, if I feel like it, I'm making the fight.
How do you wrestle through what created the situation that you're in what type of style do you feel like? You got the miners and the singers, and the, you know what I'm saying? Like, how do you wrestle through what creative areas do you use?
What you mean? I'm sorry.
Okay, like you have music, you have poetry, you have...
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Is it due to the only certain context, or is it...
Jamal, in each respective church, how do they determine what? If they...
What styles and what genres and what...
Oh, yeah. I would say use everything you have. Like, if you have drama in the church, use it. If it's good. If it's not, don't use it. Singing, you know, if it's good, use it. Dance ministry, that's what we have here. If it's good, use it. I even consider IT ministry part of the creative arts ministry. All this stuff up here that y'all see, that's part of creative arts. Yeah, that's part of creative arts. And especially in this time, we're talking about cultural relevant ministry, this is so critical to just the way that people engage with God emotionally and visually. You understand what I'm saying? So even IT media is a part of, and sound are part of the creative arts and worship ministry. So whatever is in your congregation, use it. And the way I did it is I set up, because, you know, we have a plurality of leadership here, which is just, you know, a community of elders, community of leaders. And so what I did was I set up each ministry. There's 9 ministries under me. And each ministry has a plurality of leaders, has 2 leaders. There are 2 leaders to each creative arts and worship ministry. Just for the sake of, A, accountability, and just according to Ecclesiastes, 2 is always better than 1. 2 people think in 2 different ways and perspective. So I think you should use all that you have. And I think that to take some of the weight off of you, make sure that you set up leaders that can, you know, really steer. You can steer your leaders, but allow your leaders to steer those particular ministries in the direction they need to go. So you don't have to personally worry about, are they sticking to the core values, are they sticking to the... You just connect with your leaders that you've delegated to be over those respective ministries, drama, hip-hop, whatever it is, drama, hip-hop, sound, IT media, et cetera. Somebody else that I see here? Time. That's my time. God bless y'all.